Well, welcome to another edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and I am here with a friend of mine who traveled all the way down from the cities. You are the second longest drive so far of one of my guests, Ted Schwetzler. He is on the cast today, so welcome.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
This is going to be a really fun cast. And I've been looking forward to this one since we penciled in the date about a month and a half ago. Because we have not only good beer that we're going to have, but we have something that we have not yet done on this podcast yet. And that's going to be, if you are watching, you'll see we have some trading cards here as well. So we have trading cards that we are going to break open because it is becoming a huge thing, it seems like. You know more about it than I do. And I have a buddy that even knows more about it, it seems. But if I got you two together in a room, we'd probably talk for hours. But the first thing we're going to do is open up one of the two beers you brought. You brought two different ones. You have Luplin. Is that how you say it?
Yep, Luplin. Yep.
Luplin Hui, the Indian Pale Ale. And I believe I've had that one before. But the one that is catching my eye is the one on the left side you'll see called Freaky Friday by Toppling Goliath. Now, I've had Toppling Goliath, and I've been to the brewery before, but I have not had that one. So I'm intrigued.
Yeah, they do. It looks like, I didn't look at it too much, but it looks, or they do like a mashup with different breweries.
Okay.
So this one looks like it's with Other Half, and they must come together and then they make these special brews. I don't know how long they actually like keep them stocked for. It's probably just a limited run.
But yep.
I always think it, I love Toppling Goliath, their Pseudo Sue, King Sue, like some of their IPAs are some of my favorite beers, so I'll always try when they put out a random IPA, and I am the sucker that marketing gets me. So I saw like okay, there's like random broccolis on this, and it's called Broccoli Special Reserve. Sweet, let's try it. Like as long as it's a catchy one, I'm like, all right, whatever, we'll try it.
Yeah. So which one do you want to pop open first?
Let's try the broccoli one.
Let's try the broccoli right off the bat.
Yeah.
So for those who have watched before, I have done Toppling Goliath one other time, and that was, I can't remember what episode, but it was with Hurley, Brett Hurley, and you'll remember we did a flight of them. We did four of them. We had some Christmas ones, limited release, it seemed like, and then we also had the Pseudo Sue, because that's one of my favorites of all time, and this one, this Freaky Friday, this one's got broccoli all over it, so if you can't see that at the moment, I mean,
HDHC Broccoli Special Reserve.
Does that mean it's got like some? Does it got?
I don't think it
THC
has,
in
no,
it.
No, no, no. I don't All think right. so.
Well, let's crack this first and cheers it first. That's the sound of refreshment, folks. Cheers, Ted. That doesn't taste like broccoli at all.
No, I'm glad it doesn't taste like broccoli.
I am too.
I mean,
well, the thing throws you off. I'm like, what is this, broccoli beer or what? But no, I've had some that have had like a weed flavor to it or like a hemp flavor to it. There's one that's called Hemporium. I can't remember who it's by. That one's good.
Yeah, I've had, I can't remember if it's by Stone or Stone Brewing.
Stone has was
but
a good
yeah,
one
they
too.
Have like a green, it's a green glass that is like a hemp flavor. And I like that one quite a bit too.
They serve one of them on a cruise ship. It's their IPA. It's black and green is what it is. But this one's coming in at what, about 8.3%?
Yeah,
so this is a heavier one.
Double dry, huh?
Yeah, double dry.
Yeah, it's a little bit stronger.
Yeah, so if you have, first of all, if you have not been down to Toppling Goliath and you are somewhat within even an hour or two, go take a look. Have you been there?
I have not. No. I love Toppling Goliath beer, but I've never been there.
Have you been to Surly?
Yeah, Surly is huge.
Okay, so this, I've never been there.
Yeah.
But this is a big one, too. Okay. There's like two floors. They serve food. They do all that kind of fun stuff. And I've been there twice. Usually I go by motorcycle or it's a car drive, but it's not really that bad. It's like an hour drive.
Is it Decorah?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's another one that's in that town called Pulpit Rock.
Okay.
And I don't know if they've ever teamed up and done, because like you said, sometimes breweries, they team up together.
Yep.
And then they make some sort of beer. Like this one is from another place called Other Half, which I never have heard of.
I don't know where that is either.
But that's the fun part about this podcast is drinking new things, learning about other places possibly. Because I've heard of Luplin. I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
I've had the Hui before, so I look forward to that one as well.
And that's nothing. I mean, you can get Hui anywhere. Luplin makes really good like random beers too. They didn't happen to have one at the liquor store I went to. But Luplin's in like Big Lake. Just it's about 20 minutes west, northwest of Minneapolis.
Have you been there?
Yeah, that's a really nice tap room. Yeah, it's a small one.
Okay.
It's surprising. The tap room is not that big, but I bet they have 25 different things on tap.
Ooh,
I mean, they constantly are pushing. Yeah, they have like main ones. They have a chocolate porter. They have a Java Ties. It's called. It's like a coffee beer. But then they'll do other stuff. They do their own seltzers. That's a nice tap room.
Okay. You know, I see my cousin. He's always, I've seen him on Facebook tag himself being there. So I assumed it was around the city's area, and that's where you're from, is up by Minneapolis, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
So that's going to bring me up to my next point. And first of all, before we even get there, since I knew that you're a big collector of shoes, which we'll get into, and a Jordan fan, if you're wondering why I look like I am on the 1984 Chicago Bulls team, it's because I had to wear my Jordan stuff with Ted comes on. I'm wearing, I think this is, well, from 84-85 season.
Yeah,
it's their warm-up.
Yep.
I got a pair of Jordan pants on if you're looking or watching online. And then I got the Jordan 2 Lows on. So I'm fully Jordaned out today. Kind of went with a theme, I guess.
I didn't do twos, but I brought 11 lows. So
11 lows,
yeah.
I like that. So you are wearing some Jordans.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
So the first thing I want to get into is you have a blog, is that correct?
Correct, yep.
And what's that called?
My blog is Off the Baggy.
Okay.
And it's just a Blogspot website. But I spun that off after starting to kind of write on the internet and whatnot, and didn't really have a home for just writing twin stuff. So I figured out how to do a Blogspot. A lot of everything that I put together is on my Twitter, and that's kind of the launching pad.
Okay.
I don't really write at at my own blog anymore. Twins Daily is it started out as a blog or a website for bloggers to create a voice, kind of.
Okay.
It was four separate owners that all had their own individual blogs. They came together, made this website, and then the idea was to kind of cultivate a community. We have probably 10 to 15 people that write regularly for the site, and now that's the only place that I write on Twins. If I put something out that's like solely my opinion or like World Series or yearly predictions or whatever, I'll write that on my blog because no one cares on a bigger website like what my specific thoughts are. But anything that I do, like covering the Twins wise or blogging about baseball, it's always on Twins Daily now.
Okay, so the website is it on Twitter specifically, or X for those who
Yeah. So my Twitter, I like always share my links, and my Twins Daily is on Twitter. The link or the URL is on there, but
okay.
Twins Daily is its own standalone website.
And then you write for Off the Baggy?
I write for Twins Daily.
Okay.
Off the Baggy is my blog that I kind of started before they asked me to come contribute there. I developed a following on Twitter. They were like, hey, we, you know, like what you do.
Gotcha.
Will you come write for us? And I was like, sure.
How long have you been doing that for?
Probably, I think this year it'll be 10 years.
Okay, wow, that's a long
time.
How'd you come up with Off the Baggy for the name? I think I know.
That was from the Metrodome days.
Okay.
Yeah, trying to like, okay, there's a big baggy in the outfield. And like, I'm not great with like graphic design, and I work in IT staffing headhunting.
Yep.
But I'm not real technical on my own. So like the whole Blogspot thing and having to put like graphics on a website, I didn't understand any of that. I had to like search on YouTube and kind of Google around and stumble my way through it. And Off the Baggy seemed easy. I found a image of the big baggy at the Metrodome with the big Target logo on it and the truck and whatever. And that was my backdrop for my website.
Cool.
I'm like, cool. All right, this is all I'm going to do, and then I'm just going to write. So,
and for those who aren't aware, we are Minnesota Twins fans. I mean, as some of you who are now listeners, you know that this is based in Minnesota, and we're Minnesota Twins fans. If you can't see, I mean, Ted's literally wearing Twins gear right now. His hat, I just noticed it. It looks like an old Homer hanky. which was from the World Series days back in the late 80s, early 90s. But off the baggy in right field, there used to be where the seats would pull out for the Vikings games. They would have big navy blue bag back there. And I think if you hit off of it, it wasn't a home run, was it? Or was
correct.
It a home run?
No, it was whatever. Yeah.
Like I mean,
it could have
wall.
Been a double. Yeah.
Yep.
You had to hit it over it. And then in like right center field, the baggy ended.
Yep.
And so you could, then it was a home run when it went into the seats.
So yeah, those are the back of the Metrodome's days. Now the Twins have been at Target Field for at least a decade or more.
Yeah.
Or right now
they
it might
opened
be a decade.
In 2010. So it'll be 14 years old this season.
So now we don't have that anymore, but it was a cool place. It was a loud place when I was younger.
Yeah.
So that's not your full-time job, right? That's just a hobby?
I don't know. I didn't really understand Twitter when I didn't get on Twitter when it first started.
I don't know what Twitter is now. I barely understand that. So.
Yeah, I thought it was, and Facebook was much more prominent, obviously, when, mm-hmm. when Twitter started. I thought Twitter was basically like updating your status on your Facebook.
Sure.
And so that's kind of how I used it to communicate with some friends in college and put out like, oh, I'm making a sandwich type thing or whatever, like just stupid stuff. And then I kind of understood that it's basically the experience you create. So if you follow a bunch of like sports writers or SportsCenter or whatever, then it's like your newspaper. You can wake up in the morning and whatever they share news-wise, you're going to see.
Yep.
I started sharing Twins opinions and trying to like write a little bit of my, I guess, opinions and thoughts
yep.
on Twitter and sharing stuff while, a sports game or something was going on. But you were limited to 140 characters for, I don't know, however many years.
Yep.
Somebody approached me probably 2-3 years into my career after college and said something about like, hey, I see you, like video games, tech, whatever. We need a writer for a blog website. We'll pay you X amount of dollars for every article you write, whatnot. So I was like, I guess I have.
Why
extra,
not?
Yeah, I have extra time. Like at the time I was getting my feet wet in the industry of staffing and I didn't have 8 hours of work every day, but I sat at a desk. So I would write in my spare time.
Sure.
Ended up finding out blogging was a thing. I didn't even really know anything before that. And then so I branched off from, okay, someone asked me to write about tech. There has to be like places I could write about baseball. So then I found a couple different Twin sites that I contributed to. And it to me, it was like, this allows me to have a better voice than what I can show on Twitter because 140 characters,
that's
you can't
not much.
You can't really back up any opinion or it just comes across weird. So then I started blogging on the Twins and I guess it took off from there. Now I probably have close to 30,000 followers on Twitter and
nice.
Have gotten to know players, their families. I go down to spring training every year. Like that stuff is on me. I'm not paid by the Twins or anything to do that, but it's become an awesome like side hobby that I can make money at and enjoy.
That was my next question. Are you able to make money somehow on
Absolutely,
this?
Yeah. Yep. So like Twins Daily pays contributors based on like page views and whatnot. And obviously having a following, I do pretty well that way. I've had different opportunities come up because of having a following on Twitter. There's companies that'll reach out and ask like, hey, can I advertise through you? Can I have you do some tweets? Or I don't know if you've ever heard of the sports book Bovada, the online gambling.
I think I have. Yep.
Yep. So they didn't have a baseball. They called it influencer. I hate that term, but like we want somebody that follows baseball to tweet our lines out and talk about. So they paid me money every month to just be an influencer for
it.
Like
bad.
Things like that just pop up now randomly. And some of them are great and I run with it. Some of them I turn down cause it's like not as lucrative or just not worth it. But yeah, it's been a lot of people use, TikTok or Instagram to make money or advertise or whatever. And Twitter has kind of always been my niche just from, I found out I like to write. I didn't know that ahead of time. I never went to journalism school or anything like that.
I know how that goes.
Yeah, and like I knew I liked in college, I enjoyed writing papers and I can be long-winded and talk and what, but I didn't know that I liked to write. And now I'll probably crank out somewhere between 5 to 15 different articles a week. I write about 3 to 4 at Twins Daily, and then actually a Vikings website reached out and asked if I would write for them. So I try to write about 2 every day for them.
Oh, wow.
I'm nowhere near as clued in or the expert or whatever on the Vikings that I feel like I am with the Twins.
Sure.
A lot of my Vikings takes are like sharing other information, or, hey, I have a thought on Justin Jefferson's contract situation or whatever. Okay. But it's not, hey, this is how the roster should work, because I feel like I have that ability for the Twins.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of funny you say that, because the way that you just said about, like, you know, a contract, that's a totally different ball game than the roster and how that should be set up. That's like a business aspect of sports, and that's kind of unique in its sense too, because you can write about from all different angles of sports, it seems, and it doesn't have to be specific. Oh, here's who I think should start for them to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
it could be like, well, does the money make sense? And here's the stats and stuff like that. Is it safe to say that baseball is your favorite sport?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, I love football and I like the Vikings. My wife was a longtime Vikings season ticket holder before we met, so we have season tickets to the Vikings. We go to a handful of games every year.
Oh,
but
nice.
I'm not going to break down their salary cap situation or why Kirk Cousins doesn't make sense at such an, because I don't feel like I have enough information to back that up. I'll talk about things that I know or high level opinions.
Sure.
But on the Twins, like, I can look at their payroll and be like, this is what they should be doing. Here's who's not going to make the roster. Those kinds of things.
Yeah. You said that you've been able to meet some of the Twins players throughout
absolutely.
The years.
Yeah.
Is there one that stands out that you met that's like, this was so fun?
I mean, I'm decent friends with a handful of people over the years. Ryan Pressly and Mitch Garver have both won World Series. Now Ryan Pressly is the closer for the Astros.
Okay.
Mitch Garver just won a World Series with the Rangers this last year. I'm friendly with their families, know them well.
Call them up.
Yeah.
Right now, call them up, tell them we're on the cast.
Royce Lewis has become a really cool or a really good family friend.
Oh, cool.
So getting to know him and his fiance, and just, I mean, like, my thing has always been, I enjoy being able to, like, cover guys before they're huge. Like,
sure.
Royce Lewis obviously is one of the best players in Major League Baseball now, but I also talked to him the day that he was drafted by the Twins and did an interview and got to know him. And then when I go down to spring training, I'm on the backfields talking with minor leaguers that, hey, you guys are going to be the future of the Twins.
Yep.
It's cool to cover them. And Twins Daily is great about that. We do a lot of minor league work. So during the season, every night we have a minor league report where we're covering the teams in the system. And so you get to know guys that maybe they'll never make it to the big leagues. Maybe they'll play in the minors for 5-6 years, but their families are all around the country.
Yeah.
And then they have somewhere to check on, hey, how did my son do tonight? What did, you know?
Oh, okay.
And it's cool when it's unfortunate, but they leave the organization. There was somebody that actually just reached out last week. Their son went to a different organization over the off season, and he reached out and was like, man, I miss Twins Daily. This new organization doesn't have any sort of blog site like that or coverage of minor leagues to see, how's my son doing tonight, or what did he do? Yeah, it's,
I know my parents would be like that too.
Yeah, it's not, and we see them in like the forums or the comments section, and it'll be like, so like, you'll recognize the last name, and oh, obviously that's their parent. Or I'll see that on Twitter, they'll reach out and be like, hey, thanks for covering my son or whatever. It's a cool way to engage with people, as opposed to just being like, hey, you're a major league athlete, can I get your autograph or something like that?
Sure.
Like, that is cool. But to me, that's how I go more towards like cards or memorabilia or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd rather establish a relationship or a friendship with someone that we can like talk and have conversation, as opposed to just hounding you for things. You get enough of that in your regular life.
Yeah. Yeah. So who do you think the one player that you're closest with then that you've gotten to know over the years?
Probably either Royce or the Garvers.
Okay.
Mitch and Sarah, his wife, are really good people. I talk to them a handful of times a year. Normally when, because Mitch has now been gone from the Twins since 2022, I believe, was his first year elsewhere. So like when Sarah comes or when they come to town, I normally go watch a game with Sarah.
Oh, that's cool.
And sit with her, and I know their kids well, or I've met their kids.
Yeah.
When we actually did my 4-month-old son's gender reveal, I know a couple of the coaches on the team relatively well too. And one of them ended up doing our gender reveal, like did the flipped a baseball or whatever. Yep. And Nick Gordon, who actually the Twins just traded, hit it and broke the ball for us on the field and like gave my son a bat.
I did see that on Facebook, I think.
Yeah, I was that able was cool. to reach out to Jace Tingler, the bench coach, and he's like, absolutely, I got you. Like,
yep.
You know, show up ahead of time, bring stuff down. And yeah, it's cool to get to know people that way.
So I got a question now because of that is when these players, you get to know them, do they live in the area? Do they have a house or do they kind of live almost like suitcase to suitcase?
Yeah. I think it depends on longevity, right? Like a lot of baseball free agents sign 1-year deals.
Yep.
Those guys are probably doing like long-term or month-to-month rentals or something. But a guy like, I mean, Joe Mauer's a bad example because obviously he was local already.
Yeah.
But like Carlos Correa, the Twins signed him to, a 6- or 7-year contract last year. He bought a house in Wayzata. So, like, yeah, you know you're going to be here for 6 years.
Sure.
Granted, he doesn't live there year-round. I would imagine in the winter he probably – they previously lived in Houston, so I would imagine he goes back there. It's nicer.
Yeah.
You can train, whatever.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
I would think guys that have an established, I'm going to be with the Twins,
yep,
will buy or something.
Yeah, so I get what you're saying. If they have a short contract, probably just do a month-to-month or a one-year. If they know they're going to be there for a while, maybe buy a house in that area, but they might not live there because they're not technically probably from Minnesota, like
right.
A Joe Mauer would have obviously probably had somewhere set up, but then again, his whole career was here, so he is one of those unusual, I would say,
it's tougher
circumstances.
For, I think, the like minor league guys, obviously, they can go up and down through farm at any point, so like they're generally like sharing a space, either Airbnb or whatever, but they also might have somebody that like, hey, I'm going up to AAA, you're coming down to AA, like you take over my lease and I take on yours. I know the Twins at the at the major league level, they have a travel coordinator that will handle, you think like plane rides and stuff from travel court, but they'll handle like your family, they'll handle, if a guy gets traded, they'll help him find somewhere to live. If, say, that you trade for a guy and you trade away a guy, they might just say, hey, take over this guy's lease, you know, or whatever.
Okay.
Like, they coordinate a lot of that. I don't know if that exists on the farm or the minor league system.
Yeah.
But I would assume there's some level of help along the way there.
Well, and the one thing is, I mean, these guys are playing, 162 games a year?
Right.
They're rarely home during that season, which leads me to another question for you. Do you think 162 games is too much for baseball? I mean, if you love the sport, you love watching, you're like, I could have 200 games. But on the players, I guess, is a different story.
I'm a fan of keeping things, because baseball is such a statistical game.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the continuity of, okay, Aaron Judge hit however many, 70-some home runs or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But now you take away 10 games, it's not, you can't evaluate it the same, you know, because the next guy only had 150 games. Outside of that, I don't think that the proposed big talk is like 154 or something. To me, okay, that's negligible. It's, what, 8 games? Like, what does that really matter? It's a grind either way. And I think, obviously, the reason that it's so long is because baseball has so much uncontrolled outcomes that you need, like, looking back at COVID, there were so many guys in the 2020 season that had like ridiculous outlier seasons or career years or whatever, because 60 games isn't a big enough sample for things to to fall into
right,
place.
Yeah.
A guy might have a horrible average, but you look at his like advanced metrics and it's saying, you know, the odds of this continuing to happen aren't good enough or yeah. aren't good. It will get better. But 60 games isn't going to allow it to get
sure.
better. 120 will or 160 will.
Yep.
So it's still got to be lengthy. If they shorten it by 10 to 15 games, I don't love it from the record book standpoint, but it yeah. doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things
sure.
either.
What is your thoughts on when they put in the pitching clock? My dad hated it.
He yeah, it stupid, I like but. It from a standpoint of I go to probably 60 or 70 Twins games a year.
Oh,
so it makes the game – I mean, you're talking 2 hours and 10 minutes as opposed to 3 hours.
Yep.
But I also get it too. Like, they started implementing that at the AAA level 2 years ago, I believe. And I, because of like Twins Daily and covering minor leaguers, I go to a lot of Saints games and I have full credentials for the Saints. So like I'll go down to the locker room and talk to guys. And
oh, whatever. Nice.
And the first year I remember like a lot of pitchers were just like, this is mentally, it's throwing me off. I had a routine.
Yep.
There were more Tommy John injuries last year because of guys not necessarily getting warmed up fast enough. There's a clock for how long a reliever gets to warm up or how many pitches that, you know, so there are downsides to it. I don't necessarily dislike, you know, the bigger bases or the pitch clock or the stealing rules. I absolutely hate starting a runner on second. That's only been a softball thing forever.
Yeah, that's right.
And they start – Manfred start – and I'm not a fan of Rob Manfred. I think he's a horrible commissioner. But
hear that?
Yeah.
Yes. Hear that? You suck.
He's going to be here for 5 more years, and then he's retiring, thankfully. But he started that during COVID, and the point, I guess, was less – interaction, I think, between players, and then also like you wouldn't have games going as long,
sure.
so you wouldn't necessarily need to worry about guys getting sick or something.
Yeah,
but they kept it going, and it's got a very hockey feel to me, like the shootout where you play a normal game for 9 innings, and then all of a sudden, right after that, the game changes to something else.
Yeah, that is
like
weird.
It's different, and in hockey, they account for that because you get 1 point for an overtime loss. But in baseball, like if a team wins the division with 5 extra wins, but a bunch of their wins came off of extra inning games where they had a guy on second already, is
yeah.
that team, did they really win better games than a team that
sure.
didn't play many extra inning games? It's just,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
Odd.
That's cool.
Yeah.
My dad, he comes from a standpoint of he only goes to maybe one game a year. So if he's taking this time to travel from here
yep.
to Minneapolis and back, he wants to watch the normal length
yes.
of a game. But you, like you said, it kind of speeds it up. There are 162 games per year, so it is a lot. But that's just a different standpoint. So if someone wants to go read your blog, where would they go to?
Twitter is the easiest.
Twitter?
Yeah, at TL Schwerz, S-C-H-W-E-R-Z. That okay. has... Twins Daily links, it has my Twitter, it has the blog links, everything's there.
And your blog is called Off the Baggy?
Correct, Off the Baggy.
Well, go check it out because I'm sure it's a lot of insight on specifically Twins stuff. So if you're a Twins watcher, which probably a lot of the people that are listening at the moment are probably a Twins fan, good place to go out and check that out. Ted's been doing it for how long?
10 years now.
10 years,
close.
So that's a long yeah. time to be blogging. Well, the next thing I want to switch over to is Jordan, or not specifically Jordan, but shoes. Because I understand that you have a shoe collection that would probably put mine to shame because everyone always makes fun of how many shoes I have, and I still have them from when I was a child. And right now, let's just go over what we're wearing. I got the Jordan 2 lows on. I don't even know the colorway. What do you got on?
Yeah, these are the Space Gray 11 lows.
Okay. Now, you have a shoe collection. Do you know how many you have?
I mean, it's way less than it used to be.
What you had before.
Yeah, I worked at a Finish Line
mm-hmm.
in,
lacrosse.
I think I started
I remember
there
that.
In like 9th or 10th, maybe 10th grade. And I knew I liked shoes back in the day. I know when I played basketball in high school, like, I was terrible. I was good on defense, but I was so small and couldn't whatever. But I was always like, my parents let me get new shoes each basketball season. That was like the one time that they were like, okay, we don't really care how much they cost. And back then it was like maybe a max of 150.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So it wasn't as crazy as it is now. But I remember there was one season that I think I started going through a growth spurt, and it was when Dada spinners, the Sprewell spinners came out.
My dad still has a pair of those.
Yeah, and I bought those first, and the wheel stopped spinning. And this was before I worked at Finish Line, bought them from Finish Line. We took them back, and then my foot started growing. So I think that season I had like 7 or 8 different pairs of shoes because like my foot would hurt in them or grow or whatever. And then from there, it was just like, okay, I guess I like shoes. And, like, that was my connection to basketball because I wasn't good and I was short. It was like, okay, I can wear these shoes to practice in. I can wear them afterwards, whatever. And then when I started working at Finish Line, obviously you get a discount. I think for the first at least 2 years when I was still in high school and didn't have bills or I didn't make money.
Because, everything was disposable income.
Yeah, like, my paycheck would go right back to the store. And I probably had close to 300 pairs at one point. I mean, I would buy basically every retro Jordan that would come out. I figured out in the Finish Line system, because of the lacrosse store, obviously it's lacrosse, Wisconsin. It's not huge.
Yeah, I remember that store. I used to go in there every time I was there.
They wouldn't get, like, the crazy releases. But one of my friends that worked at Finish Line with me, he introduced me to a couple other managers throughout the system, and there was one in like a bigger place, maybe it was Wichita, Kansas, and there was one in Chicago. So when they would get like the limited drops, I'd look up in the system and see how many they got, and I'd reserve it on the system and like have them ship them to me.
You had to have an insider scoop, huh?
Yeah, I was like all over it back then, and I remember, I think it was probably my senior year of high school, I started, you know, buying them and wearing them for basketball and whatnot. Yeah. And then after college, I remember I had probably 3 or 4 shoe racks in my dorm, like tall ones that I would wear to like open gym and stuff. And I remember I had friends come through my dorm and like, basically it was a DVD rental system. They would just ask to borrow a shoe, or sometimes they would want to like keep it. And I'd be like, oh, you got to pay like 75% of what it is or something.
Right. Yeah.
But after college, I moved into like a smaller apartment because it was just me. And I'm like, started having bills, and I was like, I'll just start selling them. So I think I sold down to probably 10 or 15 left. And I've gotten back into it a little. I'm not a huge NBA fan, but I really have. I mean, the Wolves are so fun to watch this year.
Oh, yeah.
Good. And I really have enjoyed watching Anthony Edwards. So, like, I have 2 or 3 pairs of his shoes.
The new ones that just came out?
I bought the All-Star Game ones, the purple ones.
Oh, cool.
So I like his shoes. I've started buying some Jordans again.
Sure.
I'm like, I've always been, even when I had all those shoes, I'm not the kind of person that just has to look at them. I don't want to trash them, but I want to wear them.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, so like, I'll sometimes buy pairs off eBay too, like a Jordan or something that's been worn like 3 or 4 times. Because then I don't have to pay the retail price. I can pay, you know, a little bit less, and I'm not going to screw it up. It's already worn. And then if I don't want to wear it anymore, as long as I kept it nice, I can put it back on eBay.
Sure. Well, my whole ideal, in an ideal world, I would have bought 2 of every pair I ever bought, so I could have one just sitting there for collection. Yeah. And the other, because I like to wear them too.
Yeah.
Like the cars in here, yeah, they're awesome because they're collectible, but I still want to take it out on the street.
Right.
And go.
Like, you can only look at something for so long.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And I remember back in the day, like, you're LeBron. You were one of the first people I'll never forget in high school. You looked at me, and I was kind of skeptical of LeBron. I'm like, at the time, no one had really been on ESPN in high school.
Yep.
And so they started talking him up, and like obviously Kobe and KG and players like that had come from high school.
Yep.
But I'm like, man, this guy is like so talked up. There's no way he can live up to this hype. And he was pretty good right out of the bat.
Yep.
And you were like, yeah, he's going to have like a Jordan-like line where they're going to make a new shoe every year or whatever it is, and I'm going to buy everyone. And I remember it's funny, actually. About a week ago, they re-released the Air Zoom Generations.
Yeah, I love those.
I bought I think it's called the home debut, the red version, because you had the white and black ones back in the day, and I never...
No, I think mine are white. I got them at the house. Yeah, we'll look at them later.
Yeah, but I was like, I need a pair of these, and I'm going to just wear them to the gym. Like, I go play pickup basketball every once in a while at Lifetime and stuff now, but I don't play basketball. Sure. I either wear them to the gym to work out, or I just wear them out. The tough part in Minnesota, obviously, is that normally 6 months are crappy with snow.
Yep.
So I wear, like, kick-around shoes then. But yep. As long as it's summer, like...
Wearing the nice ones.
Yeah, I'll wear whatever.
Well, I got all the way up. I went from 1 to about 7, and after about... the first 3 or 4 of them, then I never even stepped foot in the other ones because I wasn't playing basketball at a college level. So they were just my Christmas present every year for my parents. So I had some that are like the Vincent's. I think they're the 7s. They're like the Vincent St. Mary green color. Yep. The little stuff that's in it, the paper, still in there.
Yeah,
I haven't even put my foot in it, I don't think. And then I did recently, what was it, about 3 years ago, I did buy the 18s maybe.
Okay.
And I did wear them to play inside basketball, but they were heavy. And I was like, these are not what I want to wear.
Yeah, his stuff. And that's why I think he is a little bit different than Jordan from a shoe perspective. Is like, he is a big guy.
Yeah.
And like, big body, whatever. So his shoes are all either mid or high top. And they're heavier because he needs that durability. So, like, wearing them as an everyday shoe or even as a basketball shoe is just – it's different. Like, most Jordans are light and relatively low cut and whatever.
Well, I just think there's nothing that compares to the line of Jordans and the sales. I think they said LeBron's, even though he's got a lot of sales, it's nowhere near the Jordan line. Yeah. But, I mean, to me, when I look at LeBron's first – I don't know, maybe 7 of them. They all look somewhat different. But now all of a sudden you get to like maybe the last 5 years, I can't tell the difference between each one of them. But with Jordans, here's where Jordans stopped for me. Is like 1 through about 17 or 18, 17. And then all of a sudden there's still like, I don't know, 15 more after that I don't even know about.
Yeah, I liked the 23s were a cool year because it was his number, right?
Yep.
And like – but there were some real bad stinkers in between. Like the 20s are pretty awful. 21s, 22s are pretty awful. I liked the 17, 18, 19. But after the 23s, then they really started – because at that point he wasn't playing anymore.
Right.
And then they started really going to like higher technology and like, hey, let's do whatever these players want. And now I think most of them from 23 on are hideous. They might be like – better performing shoes,
right?
But they're definitely not the classics of like, oh, I'm gonna buy those over.
I know. I mean, when you look at Jordan shoes, though, they look like a lifestyle. Like you're gonna match this up with your outfit is what you're gonna do. And you know, that's where I read one time or saw it was like, until Jordan came along with his line of basketball shoes, no one gave a rip about basketball shoes or any sort of shoe for that. All of a sudden, when Jordan started coming out, all of a sudden it became like a lifestyle and people wanted to have cool shoes then, which is so true because I can remember when I'm little, I had some Shaqs, which my dad and I still have the Kamikaze. No, not the Kamikaze. That's Sean Kemp. The Hypnosis, I think they are.
Yep.
I have a pair of those. I even set my foot in with them.
Yep.
I bought the retro version. Sean Kemp, I had his shoes when I was in third grade because when I was younger, I used to get them during basketball, but before even that, I would get one pair that I wanted for gym class because we had to have indoor shoes. So I had the Kemps, the Kamikazes when I was in third grade. I thought those were so cool. A buddy of mine had them. I go, I got to get those.
Yep.
Those are so neat. But there's just so many other ones. Dennis Rodman had some.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nuts.
I think, like you said, all of that started because of Jordan. About like how many different – and I mean, a handful of it, both LeBron and Kobe are Nike brand too. Mm-hmm. So that – it doesn't go to Jordan, but it's the same company. But how many other companies he spurred up because Reebok made a killing off AI. Like,
oh, yeah.
Allen Iverson, the questions in that line.
Yep.
And, like, I mean, Dwayne Wade went overseas and did the Li Ning thing. And, like, Adidas now has Anthony Edwards. And, like, having a shoe became a thing because of Jordan. And it's funny, like, at the beginning when he had the ones – he was getting fined every game because they didn't want him to have colored shoes. And, like, he created a whole business line. Like you say, lifestyle, you're wearing pants and a shirt that have a Jumpman logo on it because he made shoes.
Yep.
Like, he literally created brand categories. It's nuts.
I know. And then now that clothing goes along with it. And you know what's even funnier is not only is basketball have their own signature line shoes, but skateboarders had them. Rob Dyrdek had them. I mean, you got Bryce Harper now with cleats.
Right.
I mean, as far as I can remember, I don't remember anything being that big. I remember Ken Griffey had some. I know Frank Thomas had some, but as far as I can remember, it seems like Bryce Harper had, or Mike Trout maybe, have maybe the biggest line of baseball cleats.
Yep. And that's, again, like branding.
Yep.
I was talking with somebody the other night, too, like how now you'll see, if you watch a Major League Baseball game, you'll see a lot of players put, like, I don't know how they do it, but they put a cleat bed on a sneaker. So, like, I could take these Jordan 11s and, I don't know, take them to some custom person, and they'll put metal cleats on the bottom.
Damn,
of them.
Yes.
So, like, then, because a cleat obviously has that plastic bottom, so it's not as comfortable on your foot. But if
not
you put it
close.
On a, if you put it on a sneaker, your foot's comfortable. You get whatever shoe you want. You can go get a custom shoe, whatever, and now you have a cleat too. Like, the shoe game in sports was literally one man that figured it out. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. Now, out of all the shoes that you've had, I got two questions for you. But the first one I want you to answer is, which one's been your favorite shoe that you've ever had? Is there one that stands out in your mind, like, this is the best one I've ever had?
I don't know. I don't like it, and I don't have it anymore. I don't like it as much as I used to back in the day, but I loved the 16s with the shroud over them.
Oh, yeah, I got those.
Yeah, I had the white and navy, white and midnight blue.
Those are sweet looking.
And I had a pair in high school. I had a pair my parents' house back in, I don't know, when I was, a senior in high school, when Winona had that big flood.
Yep.
I had my shoes in the garage, and so that got destroyed. And they retroed them in, like, 2017 or 2018, but that's not really a shoe that is a – like, you can't really wear that with clothes. It's a, it's not really a lifestyle
shoe.
Unless
you take the shroud off, I guess.
Yeah, it's a different – so I've never really bought that one again.
I had those ones that had, like, the baby poop color. They were like $60 on East Bay. They were the same ones you're talking about, but they were like a mustard yellow. They were ugly.
Yeah,
they looked like this.
Yes. Yep. I remember that. And it's funny you bring that up too. East Bay is closed now.
I know.
That? Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember. So I think it was, it must have been in high school, but because of shoes, I was so into shoes that one year my parents, we skied a decent amount when I was a kid. We went to Wausau to go skiing, but I wanted to go to Wausau because I wanted to see East Bay. It was severely underwhelming, but I remember getting the magazine all the time, and I saw it was Wausau, Wisconsin. I'm like, that's not that far. Let's drive there. And it was some like rinky-dink little retail store because it was owned by Foot Locker, and Foot Locker owns like Champs, East Bay, whatever.
People don't realize that all those places are like owned by one place. I don't even know that.
Yeah. So they had like their corporate office and stuff and probably a shipping center, but the actual East Bay store was just some tiny little like building that had like a bunch of their clearance stuff.
Yeah.
It was underwhelming, but it was still cool to be like, oh, this is where my magazines always come
from.
God,
I love East Bay. I mean, kids, if you're listening, before there was phones to sit on the pooper with, you had an East Bay magazine possibly.
Yes.
Or you read the shampoo bottles, one or the other.
And you circled everything you wanted in there. Yes. Yes.
Oh, those are great days. Okay, so that was your favorite shoe you've ever had?
Yeah, I think so.
What, you've said you've bought, sold some. What's the most expensive one you've ever sold then? Or maybe even the one that was worth the most to you, value-wise?
So, yeah, when the 23s came out, I think the first colorway was a white and red colorway, and then his All-Star game, he must have played that year. I think maybe it was that he played, but or maybe somebody else was wearing them. But they called
the
black.
He didn't play with the 23s.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Like the 18s, I believe, was like his last year, maybe.
The black one was called the All-Star colorway.
Okay.
Then they had one that was called Titanium. The Titanium colorway. It kind of looked like North Carolina colors. Mm-hmm. It was like gray, steel, light blue, and there were only a limited number of pairs. They had what is that, the closet or the wood that like smells good and you're supposed to
cedar.
Yeah, cedar. Yeah. Yeah, they had cedar shoe trees in them, and they came with a, I think it came with like a briefcase or a box. I had a family.
I think the 17s came with a like something like that too.
Those are actually re-releasing this year for $300 now.
Ooh, I had a pair and they broke right away. They didn't last long.
Yeah. But I had a family member that was in Chicago, and was able to get me a pair at the Nike store there, the Jordan store.
Yes, I've been there.
And I sold those for like $2,000, I think. I mean, whoa. I never wore them. And
right. How much did you pay for them?
I think they were $300 or $400.
Oh, man.
But there were only so many. I can't remember how many pairs there were. It was like less than 200 or something like that.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So it was like just happened to be right time, right place.
And did you have your size or did you just get whatever they had left?
I think it was like a 10. I wear a 10 and a half.
Okay.
I don't know if I wore it at the time a 10, but I was like,
doesn't matter.
I'm not going to touch them.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see them and stuff. But I was like, yeah, I can't wear these.
So, you want to get in the next one?
Yeah, let's go for
it. Okay, well, with this one, though, hold on. We got to do a shot ski out of the brewski.
Okay.
So let's first open one of these up, and then we'll take a shot off of that. So okay. I'll open this one up for us here. And this one's called the Luplin, the Hui. And, again, it's from up in the Minneapolis region area. So if you're ever up there, take a stop up. I guess it sounds like a cool place from what I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll break this one off. And this is a hazy IPA. And we'll just tuck that there. Got to let the folks at home know. That's the sound of good beer. Well, first of all, cheers.
Cheers.
Let's take our first sip, and then we'll take a shot of the shot ski. This one, the other one had more of a sweet flavor to me.
Absolutely.
To me, the other one had more of a sweet flavor. This one's probably more in my palate of liking. I love hazy IPAs.
Okay.
So one of my favorite hazy IPAs, I just had this one on last week's episode, was Surly's One Man Mosh Pit.
Good one.
Yes, yeah. That one's fantastic. But this one, I like this one. I know I've had this one before for sure. But after you start tasting beers, they all kind of taste the same after a while, unless they do something real unique to it.
Yeah.
But let's take a shot of the shot ski. The only thing I ask is just be careful with that cord. So if you remember from a couple weeks ago, Justin Edwards was here and he brought the old shot ski. So fill one up there. And for those who are watching at home, you will see the Brewski logo on the bottom of this when we tip it up. And if it falls on us, it falls on us. Cheers, Ted.
Cheers.
Ah, yeah, nice.
We didn't spill.
It looks like the microphones are still going. Assume my camera's still going. Should be. I don't know why it wouldn't. But now we're going to get into our last segment that I've been looking forward to for the last month. You're big into trading cards, right?
Yeah, yep.
And I always grew up with trading cards. I mean, I have a trunk full that I'll show you some of them tonight. I probably have probably more than a few thousand, to be honest. I probably got like 5,000 cards sitting there.
Do you remember where you used to go in Winona?
Sure do.
Where'd you go?
Face the Music.
Was that in the mall?
That was in the Huff Strip Mall on Huff Street across.
Yeah, right,
where Videoland was.
Okay.
And Sandwich Company.
Yeah.
That's where I used to love to go because they would have cards in the case. And boy, when I used to go there, I would look at them like, oh, $5 card, that's expensive.
Yeah,
especially when I get a pack of cards for like $3.
Yeah.
So I remember I'd go there, I'm like, oh man, I really want that card. It'd be $8. I'm like, oh man. Now I'm looking at these things. There's cards for hundreds of dollars. There's boxes of cards for multiple hundreds of dollars. And I'm like, what is going on with this? So I have kind of slowly gotten back into this. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Might be a bad thing on my checkbook. Might be a good thing for my, I don't know, my addiction. I just like sports memorabilia in general.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what I'm still wearing.
Yeah.
So you and me, we bought some cards to open here on the cast. And I have a couple surprises too for you. But
okay.
We, for those who are into trading cards, you might be able to tell me more than I know about this kind of stuff, but I bought a couple Panini Prisms, which I had no idea what Panini is or anything like this. I got some basketball. I got some football ones, but I think Ted knows a little bit more than I do. Is that correct?
A little bit.
So what are Panini Prisms? Is who makes them?
Yeah, so it's funny. First, back to your comment about Face of Music. So
yes.
I will never forget back when I was a kid, my parents used to shop at Shopko a decent amount.
Oh, and yeah.
They always had, like, the wall of packs and stuff.
Yep.
And I remember, like, every once in a while, my dad would be like, yeah, you can get a pack or whatever. Yes. And I thought they were cool back then, but I never, like, really got into them. But yep. I will always remember my first, like, pack pull auto was a Gerald Wallace King's autograph. And I was like, oh, okay, this stuff isn't cards. Like, that's kind of cool, whatever.
It is.
But then when I got back into them, I got back into it probably in 2018, 2019 or so. And I thought, like, the only thing I'd ever heard of a panini was a sandwich.
Me too.
So I was like, I don't know what panini is.
Got a panini press at home, buddy.
Yeah, and I was like, I remember back in the day there was, like, Fleer and Skybox. Yes. And, like, Topps had been around forever, but I'd never heard of panini.
Yep.
And so I understood, like, basically what happened to a lot of those companies is Panini bought the licenses. So
gotcha.
Now there's two main companies. Leaf is the third, but they don't do, like, anything licensed. They do more, like, celebrities and stuff like that as, like, trading cards.
There's trading cards for celebrities,
yeah,
too,
like,
now?
They have one called Pop Century that's, like, you could get Kim Kardashian autographs.
Nice.
Things like that.
Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, right? I mean, Chris Humphrey, shout out.
Kanye West, shout out.
But, so Panini owns a lot of, like, the older type brands and then has them under the Panini umbrella. And they can make, like, different types of cards. Panini only had licensing for NFL and NBA. That's what these two boxes are.
Yep.
Topps only has licensing for baseball cards. But because Fanatics is massive and doing everything, Fanatics actually now got the license both from the NFL and the NBA and WWE, I believe.
Oh, man.
So Fanatics is going to make cards. At first, when that happened, it was like, well, who's going to buy a Fanatics card? Like, no one wants that. That's not a brand that they're
right
familiar with. But then Fanatics bought out Topps. So now Fanatics owns Topps.
So they'll just own Topps, and Topps will still be
it will
thing.
Be yeah, it will say Topps on the card, but yep. It's made by Fanatics. They also are going to end up owning Panini. Panini is trying to sue them and stuff, but they will own all the brands, make all the cards, whatever. The cool thing for collectors is, like, Topps hasn't had basketball cards in, I don't know, 10 years or more.
Well, I have them still, though.
Yeah, like the older cards were yeah, so now Topps has started making they got back into it with their Bowman line, so they make like you showed me that Bronny card.
Yep.
Like, they've started making basketball cards again because I think it's next year, the year after, they can start making actual NBA cards.
Okay.
And they'll be able to make they do have the MLS license, but then they'll be able to make NFL cards. They haven't made NFL cards since, like, 2017 or so.
Okay.
Because Panini had that license.
Sure.
So now Topps can do it all again, and they'll be the dominant force. And, yeah, Panini will just kind of go away.
So the one thing, you know, you brought up, I used to get packs of cards. That was mainly what I got to. I just remember going to Face the Music to look at single cards for
yeah,
the most
yeah.
part.
Yep.
But I was always at either Target or Shopko, like yeah. you said, because they had a whole just there's selections of, I didn't know what the heck I was even looking at. One of the coolest cards that I pulled out of one, which I didn't know I even had a cool card because this was like 1996. I have a Kobe Bryant high school cutout card.
Yep.
I sent you
yeah,
that
yeah.
one. I'm like, I had no idea who Kobe Bryant yeah. was. I just yep. saw some jabroni high school
right.
player.
Yeah.
And turns out he was more than just a jabroni high school
yeah.
player. But that's a cool thing because, you know, what I've been learning, the big thing to get right now are rookie cards. And then what you're doing is hoping that those rookies turn into something phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, you can, like, these are called blaster boxes, right? So
yep.
they're cheap. You can buy them at Target, Walmart, whatever. They're generally
yep.
$25 for the retail.
Yes.
You have to pay more if you buy them, like, from a secondary seller or whatever. If you buy the hobby boxes, which then guarantee, like, an autograph or a relic or whatever, then you're paying hundreds or thousands, like you're talking about,
yep.
because you're paying for the fact that there's a guaranteed hit. It doesn't mean, like, these, every box will show you odds. They have to, because
yeah.
it's like the no purchase necessary thing.
Sure.
Where, like, this is gambling to a certain extent. So they have to show you odds of what are your chances of getting anything.
I remember reading that on the back of the little cards when I was younger back in the 90s. It would say your odds of this is like 1 in 2 or 1 in 50 or 1 in 1,000 and all that. Yep. I remember seeing that on the back. Yep. Okay.
So like you can get an autograph for something awesome.
It's possible.
Here. Yeah.
Okay.
But the odds on a $20 box are much longer because there's no guarantee.
Sure.
So when you pay for that higher dollar box, then you're getting the guarantee. But also, it's all a level of gambling to a certain extent because you could pay $1,000 for the latest Prism hobby box and get two autographs that are, maybe they're rookies, but they're safeties.
Yeah.
Well, okay, cool. You could sell them for $20. Like in baseball products, no one wants a pitcher because pitchers blow out, don't have long careers. Like the baseball autographs to get are the young hitter because maybe he'll be the next Mike Trout. Maybe he'll hit a bunch of home runs, whatever.
So, well, you, who's the one guy that you had been collecting a lot of lately?
Back when I got back into it, I was huge into Shohei Ohtani.
Okay. I hear his are worth a lot of money now.
Now, yes. Yeah. I got a lot of mine, and I sold out like during COVID in the last handful of years. I mean, he won the Rookie of the Year, he's won the MVP. I mean, he's a Cy Young quality pitcher. Like, I made a lot of money off of that because when he first came in, he signed for a lot of money, but no one had pitched and hit in the majors really since like Babe Ruth. And back then, like Babe Ruth now, and I'm not a big fan of trying to compare eras. Babe Ruth wouldn't play beer league softball at this stage. Like, there's so many players that are way better than he ever was.
Yeah,
but he was amazing back when he played
at the time.
Yeah, so like what Shohei Ohtani's doing now is just insane. It's not even close to what Ruth did.
So for those who are listening out there, if you were going to get back into this, what would you be looking for in a box of cards for you for getting something of value? That is,
so to me, it depends on, like, there's a different way for people to experience, it's called the hobby.
Yep.
In like, there's something for everyone. You should probably start with blaster boxes like this.
And is a blaster box the cheapest version? Is that correct?
I mean, they make like single packs or like, there's a hanger box that they called that because it's literally on like the little hanging thing. Those are normally like $9 to $15 or something, or a fat pack is like the bigger packs that they put on those. Yeah. Those are like $5. But these are the cheapest boxes.
Okay.
Those are a good place to get started until you know what you want to collect. Are you trying to collect to make money? Well, then look for cards or boxes that you think will go up in value because of the content they may have in them. Like rookies or like a box of 2018 tops now is going to be significantly more than it was in 2018 because Shohei Ohtani's in it. Like, that's his rookie card, you know, just like a box of 1989 or what was it? Yeah. 89 is Jordan's rookie year, I think.
No, 84, 85.
It's Fleer is going to be significantly more than it was back then because Jordan's rookie is in it.
You know? Oh, like, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so if that's the way you want to collect, that's how you do it. If you want to just collect Twins cards or a team, then you buy those specific cards. If you want to collect autographs, maybe only buy cards or boxes that have guaranteed autographs.
Sure.
Or go on eBay and buy what you want. It's now, there's a bunch of different ways to do it. A lot of people get back into it hoping to make money.
Yeah.
I think that's a way that you'll end up being
broke
and not like not satisfied. It's not going to be like, it's gambling. It's going to make you unhappy.
So, for those who are watching out there, I just bought this old school box of 1990-91 season of Skybox Series 2 basketball NBA cards, fully sealed up. I guess they're, if you can get the Jordan, I don't know if it's whatever Jordan is, maybe it's that one. Supposedly, if it's graded a PSA 10, it's worth roughly $5,500. So I bought this because, well, for one, back in the day, For a whole box, you could get 36 packs for, or no, 36 packs of 15 cards each. And some of you would probably remember this if you're watching on YouTube right now, compared to, I think I spent $60 on these two pack or
and
boxes.
What, like
24 cards and 24 cards. So we're going to get 48 cards only out of this compared to this big giant box. So the differences are completely different, and we're not going to open this one up today. This one we're going to do tonight, hopefully, when my buddy comes over, where we have three of us, two guys that are really, really knowledgeable of this. But I bought this in hopes that we find some cool stuff in there, because I already know I have some of these at home. But the other ones that I bought that we are going to open up here that you didn't know about, I bought the last of this box of $2 each. NBA hoops, basketball cards. I mean, this is what I used to remember getting my cards out of, as a box like this. A little flappy top on it. And
it's funny, too. Like, obviously, like, the rookies box have always, you know, like, driven product or whatever. But, like, back in the day, it was never a thought of, okay, you're just looking for the rookies. Like, you didn't really look around the card. Now, since cards have kind of exploded again and whatever, like, during COVID or even after, there's been, like, random spikes of certain cards, even, like, older ones, being super valuable. And it's this hoops brand. I can't remember their names. But there's a – I think it's a Mark Jackson card.
I have that one.
That the – there's two brothers in the background that, what did they go murder
they
somebody?
They murdered their, like, they had already killed their family and were at courtside
and they were
game.
Courtside at the
I
game.
I have it at home. I think I have two of them. I'll show you.
It was like a 99 cent card forever. Yeah. And then for a while there, it became
the
like a
brothers.
Yes, that's what, yeah. It became like a $100 card. I don't know if it still is. It probably went back down, but there was like a peak of, oh, awesome. Like, we just recognized them in a card.
I think when we look through my old stuff, I have like one or two of that Mark Jackson card. You're going to be like, holy cow, maybe I have something. Maybe I don't. Who knows? But it is funny that you say that. Like, something so crazy as Mark Jackson, which I don't even know if anybody knows who he is.
Well, I mean, didn't he coach the Warriors championship team?
Impossible.
Like, I know he coached the Warriors before Steve Kerr.
He's probably more famous, though, for this basketball card.
Yes, correct. Now, yeah.
Because of two killers on there.
Yeah.
Now, I want to go back to, you said you were looking for, what was his name, Shohei
Ohtani. Yep.
Now, you were collecting his card back what year?
I think he was a rookie in 2018. So
when did you start collecting his card at that
like
time?
He signed for a lot of money. Okay. As like a, he was from Japan.
Yep.
So they like post him. He signed for a lot of money. I thought it was cool that he could do pitching and hitting. And so I just bought a base card of every single product they made of him.
So I think you're answering my next question I have for you is, why did you want to collect his card more than everybody else's? Is because of that pitching and hitting as well?
And I've always been like, I'm a huge Twins fan, but the Twins don't, like, I'm a big Joe Mauer fan. I mean, I'm going to Cooperstown this summer to see his induction. And like,
nice. Did he invite you personally?
I wish.
Damn it.
It would have been cheaper.
I suppose.
I think, like, it's cool to see superstars on other teams because the Twins don't have a ton of superstars. Like, even when the Twins are good, it's still relative. People don't look at Minnesota as a hotbed. Like, Royce Lewis is amazing. Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa, they're great. But everyone gravitates towards the coast, you know, or
sure.
New York or whatever. Yep. So I've always been a big Mike Trout fan. I think he's like the modern day Ken Griffey Jr. type player.
Oh, God, I love Griffey.
And then when Shohei joined his team, I was like, well, I already like Mike Trout and I collect Mike Trout. I'm going to collect his cards too. And then once I started buying like the cheaper end stuff, it was like, well, his autographs really haven't exploded because it was during his rookie season. So they were a couple $100, but now they're thousands because he's won all these accolades.
Yep.
So at the time it was like, I can afford a couple $100 every, you know, a couple months or whatever. I'd buy an autograph here, an autograph there.
Okay.
I'd sell other cards to buy his stuff. And then it was just like, kind of like you're talking with like the cars and the shoe. At some point it got to be, these cards are still cardboard. They're worth so much money that like, I love looking at them. But if you're going to give me $2,000 to $5,000 for this card. It's cardboard with a signature on
it.
Like,
at the end of the day,
give me that money, please.
You know, that's exactly what you're saying. It's literally a piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
That is kind of funny that you say that, because at the end of the day, it still is just cardboard. And if that person tanks, I mean, that cardboard could be worth what it's printed on.
And that's why I agree with you, too. Like, you're wanting to collect memorabilia or being tied to, like, cars or something tangible.
Yep.
That's something you can definitely appreciate. Like, memorabilia, yeah, okay, it's just memorabilia, but it's definitely more tangible than a little 2x3 trading card.
And yeah.
Like, if that explodes in value, I mean, I'm sorry, but at some point, like, I'm going to part with it for the dollars.
Yeah, and, you know, I think what we need to do right now is we need to break these bad boys open. But beforehand, I did buy what I was told was to buy some of these, what's called top loaders for anybody that's watching. It's basically just a plastic case that you can put anything of value in. So I bought them ahead of time in case we pull something amazing out of here. We have these, and I know you have some in your car that we're going to pull later tonight, it sounds like, or break open. We're going to break what we got here, which is a Panini Prism of 2023 and also of the NBA, so we have an NFL. Now, do you know what we should be looking for in these? Because this is a 2023 and 24, and then this is just a 23.
So it's always, like, baseball is easy because the season is played in 1 year.
Yep.
These two obviously are hard because it spans...
Well, kind like of. This one just says 23, but this one does, like you said, it goes through a half a year.
So 23 is the current year, even though the Super Bowl was in 2024.
Yep.
So, like, the rookies in this will be, like, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud's the big chase card because for football products, you want to pull quarterbacks. And in basketball products, you want to pull scorers. And in baseball products, you want to pull, like, hitters, home run hitters, whatever. So C.J. Stroud was the rookie quarterback that had a great year.
Okay.
Bryce Young, obviously, was the first overall pick, but he was terrible.
What about a Purdy? Is that good, too?
No, I mean, if it's an autograph or, like, a low-numbered card, but he's had his rookie card, so it's not going – like, veterans aren't going to demand anything.
Well, as the guest, I'm going to let you pick the one that you want to open, and I'll pick up the other one. And while you're opening, you can talk – I'll talk, whatever. We'll kind of talk about what we're pulling here. But for those who are maybe new or getting back into trading cards, or maybe you're a 90s kid like we are, it was huge back in the day. I mean, I have a ton of Michael Jordan sitting at home. So many so that I have multiples of the same one. So I don't know if they're worth anything, but if they are worth something, I have them, I guess. And they're sitting at home. But which one do you want to rip open?
You got basketball stuff on.
I'll do basketball.
Go Victor Wembanyama.
That's what I figured I needed. But I'm going to let you open this one up first. So the first one, for those who are listening, we're going to do the NFL pack. And this is the 23, the current year. So as Ted just said, we're looking for what, Bryce Young, you said?
We want C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young.
Who do they play for then?
C.J. Stroud was the Texans quarterback.
Okay.
Bryce Young was with the Panthers, and they had a bad year. But, like, that's the thing, too. Like, Bryce Young had a bad year, but you hold on to his rookie card because what happens
like
2 years when
they
get him a line or something and they turn things around? And
well, I'm going to break these things open just in case we got something in there that we need.
Use this to open it up.
So you pull out Brett Favre, no good anymore?
I mean, if it's an autograph or something.
I suppose. But if it's just a regular, it's no good,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, no.
Damn.
So we got Gardner Minshew, Darnell Wright, Kylan Granson, and there's a Drew Bledsoe. That's basically Brett Favre, right?
Well, basically. Yeah. I pulled Tom Brady there for me.
So, like, I mean, and this is kind of what you're looking for. Like, if it was
just, like, put it towards the camera, that's cool.
If this was a better name, but, like, so you obviously have, like, base cards where they're just, playing. All of them look the same, and then you have your, like, parallel where there's, like, different colors or number. This must be, like, they probably have this parallel in every pack.
Sure.
So if this was, like, a C.J. Stroud, it'd be worth a decent amount of money. This, I don't know, Kylan Granson, he's not a rookie and some random guy for the Colts.
Well, while you open up the next one, I'll look at what I just got. Kylan Granson, Drew Bledsoe. Now, if you don't know Drew Bledsoe, he was the quarterback just before Tom Brady came in. He got injured, and then Brady took over and actually won the Super Bowl that year. So that's kind of neat. I have a bunch of Drew Bledsoe stuff at home. I even had his jersey at one point.
Tom Brady just took his career.
Little poor guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So this one we got, you did get a rookie that was on the orange prism parallel.
Is that good? I don't know.
I mean, it's better than a veteran or whatever, but I don't, KJ Henry, I think, looks like, it doesn't even say his position on here.
Jeez.
Looks
really,
he's a defender.
Maybe he got the water for the team.
Yeah, maybe. So I would assume that one's not worth much, being a defensive player.
KJ Henry, yeah, they say RC in the top, right?
Yeah. Oh, we got a Brock Purdy for you.
Oh, we got a Brock Purdy. Well, we better put that in a top loader just so we can put one in a top loader at the moment.
It's a Brock Purdy hype card.
You know we're putting that one in there.
These are inserts. So, like, you have your base cards and stuff where they're all the same design.
All the same look, yep.
Yep, and then you got inserts where they...
Oh, that's cool.
And so back in the 90s and whatnot, these are like the Jordan... Outside of like if you had Jordan's rookie,
yep,
those are the Jordan cards over the years that would be like worth a decent amount, the inserts, because they don't come in every pack and they were generally like foil or something like that.
Yeah. I got so many of those. Well, I'm going to put this in a top loader then because... I feel like at least if I'm spending, what, $30 a pack.
Got Harrison Smith here. Oh, you got a – this one's a Stetson Bennett rookie. I mean, he didn't play for the Rams this year, but he did just win –
Wasn't he like one of the oldest quarterbacks in
the
NCAA at one point?
Yeah, because he won the national championship for Georgia.
Oh, yeah, that's how he did it.
Yeah.
And he was like 28 or something.
Yeah, I think he was there for quite a while. I don't know if his age is on the back.
All right, I'm top loading this Brock Purdy because – who knows where his career is going to go? He just was in the Super Bowl, almost won the Super Bowl. Could have been worth a little something maybe if he won the Super Bowl.
Rough second half.
Dude, that was a pretty good game all the way up until the second half.
Yeah.
Was this Kurt Warner?
No, that was the Stetson Bennett. Yeah. We got...
It's Kurt Warner.
And then you got... So,
I'll probably keep that one out on the side there.
So if you see between these two, so this one's a base... And this one's the silver prism where it kind of has that rainbow look to it.
I can't really tell with the neon light. Oh, we got Emmitt Smith. I know it's on the base, but whatever. Yeah.
So, if you get these neon, or if it's called a prism card where there's kind of like this rainbow sheen to it, those can be worth, it's called a silver.
Okay.
That's like one of the types of cards you want to collect of a rookie.
Wow, there's just so much to learn about this. It's nuts.
And every set has something. It's crazy.
How is Emmitt Smith not worth anything?
You got TJ Hockenson. Well, there's an Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, let's take that one. Is it from the Jets?
It's from the
10 seconds of playing time this year?
Yeah, it's from the Jets.
Is it really?
Yeah. Is he a...
He was done in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's either the play he tore his Achilles on or they did...
That one's going to be worth thousands. Give me that bad play. Yeah,
or they did a good Photoshop job.
Of him, yeah. It's probably actually him in a Packers uniform.
Yeah, just photoshopped on there. Is he a free agent this year, or does he stay with the Jets?
He's with the Jets still.
Okay.
He just did an interview. He was just on Joe Rogan, and he was talking about how he's back and all that kind of
stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. That guy's got some different views, which I, you know, here's the thing. When
Rodgers?
It comes, when it comes to listening to podcasts. And I said this like back in the beginning, this whole podcast is supposed to be just, you know, fun, open-mindedness. And that's the one thing I like to do is when I listen to all these other podcasts, like even if it's a conspiracy theory, I'm still open-minded to not like just shut the person up. Like, well, why do they think like that? What's getting them to that area?
Right.
So my whole thing is like, if you have a thought, well, that's okay. Say it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't agree with it, you don't have to belittle or bash someone. It, you know, sometimes those things do come true.
Yeah.
Who knows? So, I mean, be it what, you know, Aaron Rodgers is pretty outspoken. He does say how he feels about certain things. And I'm like, well, I mean, whatever his reasons are, you know, the way he gets healthy.
Yeah.
You know, he's coming back or not wanting to get the COVID shot. No matter how people feel about it. He had his way of dealing with it, as is you probably did too. I don't need to ask you about it. I don't care how you dealt with it. Just like nobody cares about how I probably dealt with it. So whatever, it's fine that, people can talk like that. And Aaron Rodgers is just one of the biggest ones that does talk out about that kind of stuff. Because he was, like, kicked off the Pat McAfee show or something. Or him and Pat McAfee had something going back and forth.
They had to, like, I think they had to apologize to...
It was something weird.
Something about, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel. He said something about Jimmy Kimmel. Too. And, like, ABC owns ESPN. Disney owns all of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, he had to apologize because Disney got in hot water or whatever. Sure. But, yeah, I mean, like, opinions make the world go around to a certain extent.
They do.
Like, people can have different opinions. You don't have to hate people over
no
it.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's just ignore them if you don't like it, whatever.
Right. I assume that was it?
Yeah.
How many cards come per pack in these? Four, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What is it? Four times...
Six or eight or something. Yeah. Well, anyways, for those who are listening out there right now, we're going to go into the NBA section of things. And
so this is where you're definitely looking for that Wemby.
I'm looking for Wemby. Okay, yeah. I'm looking for Wemby. If you don't know who he is, he plays for the Spurs. He's that very, very tall guy you may know.
It is wild to me. I've seen him play. Like I said, I'm not a big NBA guy, but I've watched the Wolves a handful of times this year because of them being so good. And it is wild to me how he doesn't break his legs. Just playing like
they look like twigs.
Yeah, I mean Kevin Durant back in the day always struck me as like this man is so skinny.
I know.
And Wemby makes him look like a beefy person. Like,
you just see that Kevin Durant got in some little altercation with some fans because they called him a bitch or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I don't know. They were trying to dap him up at the end. Like, it looked like a husband and a wife. And supposedly as a podcast, he just kind of brushed him off. But it was hilarious. She's like, come on. He's like, no, you just called me a bitch on the way out. It was when they're playing. I think they were playing in Dallas is my
guess. He's such an interesting character, too, because, like, he's gotten in trouble a handful of times for, like, he always has burners on Twitter. And, like, he'll go at people that don't like him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or, like, have negative opinions of him.
Is he just soft?
Yeah. And it's like, I mean... why do you spend your time caring about what people think of you when you're in the NBA? Like,
no kidding. It's like, dude, look what I do and look what you do.
Yeah.
You're paying to watch me.
Yeah.
Go screw off. I got a Kobe Brown rookie. I don't know if that's any good. I'm gonna let you I got two rookies in here. You look and see if there's anything worth throwing into one of my
Jaden Ivey. So this you did get a this one is an insert because obviously like these are the base.
Yep.
So this one is an insert. This emergent.
Even though I have no idea who it is.
Yeah, I don't know who Julian Strauss is.
You know what?
I don't know who Kobe Brown is either. But
well, we'll put that insert in. We'll put that in one of these packs here. Yeah, you can do the packs. I'll do this. Man, this is a fun podcast, and we're opening up cards. These cards have been sitting at my house for like the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I've been itching to open them.
I was gonna say that's why I don't buy boxes and sit on them, because it's like it's like a Christmas present or something that's just sitting there. And
1 year for Christmas, I think it was 95 ish, I got a pack or a whole box of cards, and my dad bought them as an NFL pack. He's like, I don't open them all up at once, dude. They'll be all done then. I'm like, okay. And I was like opening them one by one after another. I was just so addicted to it.
It's like
Anthony Davis.
What's Charlie in the Chocolate Factory when he had to eat like a bite of candy or a bite of the chocolate bar like every day or whatever and just savor it.
Here's one. I got a Maxwell Lewis on a rookie with like a red prism. Okay. You tell me if that's worth anything. And if it is, throw it in the, you know where to put it in.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is so interesting. I you know, it's so funny. We're going to come all the way back to, well, what the hell year is that? Like 89 there I got? The NBA Hoops 89? We're going to take it back like 40 years or 30 years. It's going to be awesome. Just to see the differences in cards.
Oh, I mean, and like how thick this is compared to like flimsy cards. I don't...
We got Luka Doncic. I just don't know if it's any good.
This Maxwell Lewis is numbered out of 299. Oh, I don't know who
we had
Chet
Holmgren on this one, but we didn't. But we got an insert, so if you think it's worth anything, you know where to put it. Malik Beasley and Luka Doncic on a base. You take a look at it. I'm starting to learn the lingo now. I got that Luka Doncic on the base. We got the insert.
Yeah, this Josh Giddey. These like cracked ice prisms are pretty cool where it like
that I can definitely tell the difference
of. Yeah.
Cracked ice. But see, like Panini makes these so damn nice. Like to me, the base cards were like the cards you were looking for back in the 90s. You're like, oh, this one's worth something.
Yeah.
I got Josh Hart on the back of this one. See, I open these up way nicer than the people online.
Oh, well.
I'm, like, scared.
I mean, when you're trying to, like, open that many, they're just, like, ripping through them.
We got something on the green. I mean, Paul George on a base, it looks like, and Josh Fart. Josh Fart. That's what I call, I don't know. The second one's a little something. I don't know if it's worth anything.
Lugans Dort? I mean, that one's not numbered.
Not numbered. If they're numbered, are they worth something more?
They could be, yeah. It could be, I mean, could like, be. Sometimes people pay for numbered cards. Sure. It depends, like, who the person is.
Michael Porter Jr., OG something, something, Cracked Ice, Tyrese Maxey, Gabe Vincent from the Lakers, but he's wearing a Miami uniform. Maybe that's one of those mistake ones that's worth a shit ton of money.
It's funny, like, a lot of times, obviously, these companies will, what's it called, Photoshop, mm-hmm. like, the right jersey, but it seems like Panini, for whatever reason, they'll put guys in, like, whatever jersey the picture's in,
yep.
and then they'll put the team name for the correct name, and it's like, you could just Photoshop the right jersey so it doesn't look
ESPN
goofy.
ESPN knows how to do that.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, there, I just dropped probably the Michael Jordan one of one.
Yeah.
Nope.
White guy.
I think. Yeah, definitely. Something... Bogdan, something or another from the Hawks. Well, I got a nice Trae Young on the Dominance. That looks like a nice one. But I'm also missing one somewhere, so I must have dropped two.
Or did I only get a three-pack?
They might have shorted you one.
It's under my chair?
Gosh. Here you go. You look at those ones. Package up anything. I'll look under the chair. Get it.
Oh, there it is. It's a rookie card. It's that Michael Jordan rookie Fleer.
On the prism. No, it's Marcus Sasser or something. Doesn't look like it's worth anything. All right, so which ones did we package up here? We're doing this just like if you were to watch it on TikTok. I got the Stetson Bennett. You know what? Throw that one in one, I guess. What did you put in there? A couple of them?
The Dominance, the red one.
All right, for those who are listening... And then for those who are watching, we got a Trae Young on the Dominance. We got a Maxwell Lewis rookie card on a, I don't know, a red something or another. Julian Strother on an Emergent. Probably the one that I have the most hope for is this Aaron Rodgers. Or my second most hyped up one is this Brock Purdy. And it literally says hype on it. I don't know. I mean... He's up and coming, so if he has some good seasons, who's to know?
Mr. Irrelevant to $1,000 card.
Did he go to Iowa State?
Yes.
All right. And then we got this Stetson Bennett on a rookie, so you never know. Like you said, rookies are sometimes the ones to keep, too, because you never know what's going to happen with them. But now we're going to kick this all the way back to 1980.
I think it's 90, right?
Maybe it's 1990. I don't know, but on here it says features Orlando Magic and Minnesota Timberwolves expansion teams.
Oh, that must be, players. It must be 90, right? Because the Wolves started in
89.
Yeah, 89.
So it's probably 89-90 pack? Yeah. I don't know. What's it say on the back? Oh, on the back it says 89.
Yeah.
So it's like an 89 collection, baby. Let it, you know, now don't be shy here. Tell everyone what you got. I mean, this is like, if you're watching, these are the boxes that I remember when I was a kid.
That
a
might
floppy
be the
little top on her.
That might be the last box that ever hyped up the Timberwolves being in a pack of cards.
Until this year.
Outside of Anthony Edwards, or this year, yeah. Jerome Kersey.
Look how many cards we got, one pack.
Yeah.
Jeez.
This is like six packs of these
prism
cards. Yeah,
what did we get, four in the other one?
Sadale Threat.
He's a threat, all right.
We got coach cards.
Oh, yeah. Coach cards were in there, too. I got a lot of those at home.
Don Nelson.
Don Nelson. Remember that guy?
The magic card has, like, the little sunburst for the expansion team on there.
That's awesome. Who would be a rookie at this year that you'd want? I don't even remember. It's not Shaq. Shaq came out in, like, 93.
Yeah.
It's not him. It's not Jordan. Jordan's already been out for a while. Look how easy these are to open.
Back in the day, it was always easy to tell because you just look at the back of the...
I got Timberwolves one.
The cart. Oh, you got a sunburst?
Probably.
I got a Mark Jackson, but it's not the Mark Jackson.
Not the one with the killers in the background. No, these are wimps. Kiki, Vandalheja, Bernard King, Ken Bannister, Willie Anderson, Richard Anderson of the Trailblazers, Dale Ellis, Randy Whitman. Ooh, Mark Price of the 89 All-Star Game. Sam Vincent. Oh, got the expansion burst on her.
Yeah.
Byron Scott. No, wait. Shaq, maybe what? No, because they were the expansion team when Shaq came in. But he was like 91, I thought, or 92, 93.
Yeah, I'm not.
James Worthy of the NBA All-Star Game.
I think this pack might be the same pack as what I got. Kevin Gamble.
Timberwolves, he's wearing a practice jersey.
They didn't have their uniforms yet.
Yeah, I didn't even have a uniform yet. They're like, hey, we might have this team. We're not even sure. You might have a job.
I think.
I need to drink a beer after that one.
Pretty good. So
these packs are like disintegrating. They're so easy to open.
These two packs I opened have, I mean, pretty close to the same exact players in both packs.
No wonder there's only $2 a pop.
They just packed out the same people.
I have an Isaiah Thomas.
All right.
Hold on now, folks. Just hold the phone, everyone.
Yeah.
Where is that? I need to put these in. I mean, these are, if I sent these into a PSA, they should be a 10. For those who don't know what PSA is, neither do I really, but I know that they grade things.
Memorabilia cards. Yep. Slab it up for you. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
There's a Scottie Pippen.
Whoa. Package that one up. I mean, they might be common cards, but common cards back then are pretty common. Or uncommon.
Well, David Robinson action.
Whoa. You know, I don't really care because these things don't cost that much to put them in here. So if they're safe and secure, we're good. Isaiah Thomas, I mean, we all know his play speaks for himself. His championships, they speak for themselves. I would be so slow if I was doing this for a job.
Toss me a
couple. That was only my... Sleeve.
A couple of those sleeves.
I got Otis Smith on the expansion team. Frank Brickowski. John Stockton, NBA All-Star Game. I don't know if that's worth anything, but I'm going to put it to the side just in hopes. Del Harris. Patrick Ewing on the NBA All-Star Game. You know, pretty soon I'm going to have all the starters from the NBA All-Star Game.
Just have them as
oh,
like
look at this. Cards. Old Magic Johnson card. That's tight. Mark Eaton. Expansion draft choice, Tyrone Corbin.
They don't even have him called Magic on that. It's still early.
Dude, I don't think I've actually ever had this pack of cards before in my life.
This, like, 1989?
Yeah, 89s. I've never even had these before. Are you sure I don't have anything good over there? Are you hiding them in your pocket, Ted?
No.
He's hiding them Jordans in his pocket.
Yeah, I got
Spud
two
Webb.
Packages.
I got Spud Webb on this one. All right, what do we got on this expansion draft? The Timberwolves, Steve Johnson, but he was playing for the Trailblazers at that time. Scott Brooks.
This is before they had Photoshop.
Oh, I got the Scott. Is it the same Scotty you got?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's right there.
I'll put that to the side. Oh, same. Dude, this is probably the same freaking pack.
Yeah, it seems like.
I got
like
the David Johnson right after. Yeah. David Robinson right afterwards.
I got your Isaiah Thomas.
There's rookie. Oh, there's rookie cards of them? Now we know. We're looking for rookies of the David Robinsons. We have our good friend Josh Harrison off to the side. He's looking up cards, making sure we don't just skim through something that's worth a whole ton of money. He's going to be like the guy that works for Joe Rogan. What's that guy's name on the side?
Mr. Fact Checker.
Yeah, I need a fact checker, card checker here. If I have a David Robinson holding the jersey. Oh, no, that's not bad. Although I heard Ted sells things for much more than $300 a card. I hear he's selling things for like thousands of dollars per card. Did we get anything else good in there?
I sleeved up your Robinson. And
all right,
Pippen.
Yeah. I got to sleeve up this Irvin Johnson. I feel like that one. Look up these NBA All-Star, these 89 All-Star game ones there, Josh. If you guys remember, Josh, he was on episode number 2. He was a guy. He was my bourbon connoisseur. He's off to the side right now looking up cards. No, well, that's worth it. I'm putting her in a little sleeve. I got a whole bunch of firewood out in my car, too, I hear. But I'm going to look through them to double check. So, this was fun. However, Ted, I have a card that I know you don't have. And I'm going to gift this to you because I remember you sent me a PSA 10 LeBron in the mail. This one should be a PSA 10. I even put it in a nice little thing for you, too. And I know you don't have one of these because... this is the first one of its kind. I got you a nice card there.
Oh, I like this. I like this a lot. We got a host card.
We got a
Brews Cruise Podcast. I like this.
So Ted is holding in his hand, if you can't see, it's a Chris Jacobson Brews and Cruise. I'm going to call it a B&C 10 grade because Brews and Cruise 10 grade, that's all I can come up with. But it's a... It's a card of mine. There's only 50 in the world.
I like it.
The other 49 are at my house.
Perfect. So then it is a one-of-one.
It's a one-of-one at the moment. At the moment. So it's like a, I don't know, Honus Wagner of podcasting cards.
Perfect.
So that's where, I don't know, is there anything else you'd like to add to this cast? I mean, we've been going for an hour and a half. I kind of figured we would easily go an hour and a half.
Yeah,
anything else you want to talk about in your anything else you got going on side jobs that you want to talk about or no?
No, I think we're good.
Shoot, then we'll just wrap this up right here.
Sweet.
All right. Well, this has been another edition of Brews and Cruise. We went over everything from Ted's hobby / side job, which is blogging, and that is
at TL Schwerz on Twitter, Twins Daily, Off the Baggy on Blogspot.
We also went over shoes that we have. We also opened up packs of cards from not only this, well, this decade, but also 3 decades prior to that. And we have more opening to do when we get back home. In a couple weeks, actually, I have my buddy that I just introduced you to. He's going to come on here, Marcus, and he works for a place in town called Northland Breaks. They're on Loop and all that kind of stuff, breaking cards and all that, but he's going to give me kind of the background of how all that works. I'm sure you probably could too, but I wanted to go over the kind of the memorabilia side of things with you because I think I'm more into the memorabilia at the moment. I don't understand how the card breaking works, but he'll be on in a few weeks from now. I think like 3 or 4 weeks from now, I got him coming on next, but this has been really, really fun. I knew that we'd have a ton to talk about because sports is way up here for me. Sports collectibles way up there for me as well, and it sounds like it is for you too.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we've gone over everything from his blog, our shoes, and also we opened up packs of trading cards. I know Pokemon's making a big comeback as well, it seems. I don't know if Magic the Gathering's doing the same thing, but they might be. But this has been another edition, an episode of Brews and Cruise with your host, Chris Jacobson. If you are feeling so inclined, please subscribe to YouTube or any of the other ones like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any other of the streaming services for the audio. And if you want to, leave me a comment or a 5-star. I appreciate all those kinds of things. Or if you want to ask a question that I can answer, I would love to do that as well. But again, this has been another edition with Ted Schwetzler as my guest, and we are out of here. Cheers.
Cheers.